You know, your Bible's to Genesis chapter 2 and 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Genesis chapter 2 and 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm not a holiday preacher. If you hear me preach on Christmas, I'm probably kicking Santa Claus instead of bragging on him. I don't preach because of holidays. I preach because God called me to preach and he gives us messages. Amen. But I want to look at some things by the grace of God today, beginning in Genesis chapter number 2. Verse 20 or so, but I want to talk just a minute about lay the foundation here, how in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and then you get over to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and it says, "And God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And he made Adam, and he made Adam in his image." God's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and he made Adam God. He made him body, soul, and spirit, three parts. And you get over to chapter number 2, verse 20, and God creates the animals. And that's where we'll start. It says, "And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." So we look here in Genesis chapter 3, after these verses we just read, realized that God had made Adam and he'd taken Eve out of the rib, a rib out of Adam, and made that rib into woman, so Adam would have it help me. Adam and Eve were separated for a period of time in the garden. The serpent comes to the woman, beguiles the woman. She eats of the fruit, Adam eats of the fruit, and they die spiritually. And because of that, they have appointment with the graveyard. If you're saved, it's not a graveyard, it's a launching pad, amen? Waiting to get out of that place. But you get over to verse 16 of chapter 3. I want to look at, before we read that verse, the first thing I want to look at is her position. Her position. I'm not talking about moms today, I'm talking about women. I'm talking about people that have a birth certificate that got a W on it. Amen. Amen. I'll be talking about the ones with an M on them too. But right now I'm talking about if you have a birth certificate that's got a W on it, God has some things for you in this message. And the first thing I want to see was Eve's position. It says in verse 22 of Genesis 2, it says, "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her into the man." I've said it before, I'll say it again, unapologetically. I believe God created the heaven and the earth. I believe God created Adam just like he said he would. He made him out of the dust of the ground just like he said he did. I believe he took that rib out. He caused that sleep to fall upon Adam, which is a type of death. And I believe he took that rib and he made a woman. And I believe he took it from the rib that was right next to his heart, so the woman's condition or position would be next to the man's heart, right, not under the man's feet. Amen. You see, we got a perverted idea of things, a perverted view of things today, because men and women are having trouble figuring out what men and women are supposed to be. Right. Matter of fact, they're even having trouble finding out whether they're a man or a woman for some reason. But we know the reason, because the little g god of this world, the devil, is confounding the minds of people. He's perverting the thought process. He's running most of the school system. He's got a hold of everything that was good and perverted it, and he's kicked the Bible out of things, got them to kick Jesus Christ out of things, got them to kick reality out of things, and now he's got women afraid to be women and men afraid to be men. God wants you, if you were born with a W on your birth certificate, God wants you to be a woman. But I want to talk about God's woman. God's woman. You look at Adam's woman, you say, well, you know, he made her for Adam. Yeah, but it's God's woman. He had a design. He had a plan. He had a situation that he wanted to see come to fruition. It will come to fruition one day, but it got messed up right now. But that position was to walk beside the man. not wearing a veil over her head 10 foot behind it,
right,
like the Muslims.
Right.
Not under the foot of the man like some of the Baptists,
right,
but beside the man. And that position was altered slightly because of sin. And if you look at Genesis chapter number 3, verse 16, it says, "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." She still come from the rib. God's woman is still supposed to walk beside her man. He's supposed to be able to put his arm around her and walk with her. But now the hierarchy is different. It's Jesus Christ, the husband, and the wife. Because of the sin in the garden, she was commanded to follow the husband. You say, boy, the man's got to, you know, man's got to work hard, man's got to sweat, man's got to do all this, and you go out and grow a garden, you realize that thorns and thistles will take that thing over if you don't stay after it. You say, man's got it bad. Well, how about the woman that's got to follow you? I know we're all, you know, we're all perfect. We come here on Sunday and we magically change into perfect people when we walk through the church house. Amen. We're conformed to the image of Christ automatically. Now, you will be one day, but right now you're still a rascal. Amen. Just like me, you're struggling with the flesh, and you struggle with God's hierarchy just the way a woman does. Amen. You say, "What woman? If she just follow me, well, follow Christ, maybe she'll follow you." You see, the position was set up for that woman to walk beside the man next to his heart. And then because of sin, she was supposed to not only walk beside the man next to his heart, she was supposed to look to the man for spiritual guidance. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, in case you're one of these folks that say, well, that was the Old Testament, let me show you what it says in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. "But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." You see, the hierarchy has not changed. But again, she was not taken out of the heel bone or out of the foot bone or the arch of the foot. She was taken out of the rib. And when you treat your wife like she was taken out of the foot, man, you're acting like Jesus Christ should treat His church that way. Because He compares the husband and the wife to Christ and the church. And I thank God He doesn't treat His church that way.
Amen.
Her position was to walk beside the man. Back in Genesis chapter number 2, verse 20. "And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him." Her mission was to be a helpmeet. Her mission was to help her man. You say, well, that's not the way it is anymore, preacher. That's not the way it is because the world's changed and you know, things are different. And it's just that old-fashioned stuff just don't work anymore. Well, you know, the old-fashioned blood of Jesus Christ will still save you and keep you out of hell. The old-fashioned Bible will still make you want to live right. An old-fashioned Bible will still kick you right in the britches when you're not living right. An old-fashioned Bible will still stick that finger right between your eyes and say, you need to get right. An old-fashioned Bible will tell you how to get right. I'm an old-fashioned kind of guy. I may not be that old. Y'all are laughing now, right? I may not be that old. There might be some folks in here older than me, but there's some folks in here older than me that handed down something to men my age that I want to hand down to something to men younger than me, and it's called an old-fashioned religion.
Amen.
And an old-fashioned belief, an old-fashioned book, because God's an old-fashioned God.
Amen.
He hasn't changed on this stuff. You can call yourself a male and wear a dress and get your flaming faggy haircut and all whatever you want to do and just to act like a woman and prance around in high heels. God hasn't changed. He still don't accept that.
Right.
And a lady wants to be a man, God still doesn't accept that either.
Yeah.
I said a woman wants to be a man. A lady wants to be a woman. Amen.
Right.
But her position was to walk beside Adam to be a blessing and a help to Adam. Her mission was to be a help. Her position was to be beside him. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Now right here, we'll park here for just a minute. And if you're married, you're planning on getting married, I'll save you $1 million worth of counseling by reading you about 10 verses. Amen? You don't have to go to a counselor. If you don't get right with God, your wife might have to. But if a man and a woman to follow this, you could just cut out the counseling. Amen? You cut it all out. Just live right for God. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter number 5. Women, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. New Testament, that's still Bible right there. That's old-fashioned belief. Amen? God still believes that's right. I don't care what the world thinks. Matter of fact, the world 99.9% of the time is going the wrong direction. So if you just figure out what the whole world's doing and go the opposite direction, you're probably lined up with God. Amen. Men say, amen. Submit yourselves to your own husbands. Oh, it gets better. For the husband is the head of the wife. Oh, men, we like that. Amen. Even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Isn't that something? The man is the authority of the house, especially in spiritual matters. Praise God, boy, we're men. We run everything. Might want to throw an eye in there because it seems like men ruin everything. Look what it says. Here's where the counseling starts, amen, for us men. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. He gave Himself for it. So the wife is supposed to submit to the husband, and the husband is supposed to love the wife like Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. So you got to figure out what love is and what the love of God is. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He gave for His bride. Everything's all messed up today. Look, we'll keep reading down through here a little bit. That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. You know what one flesh does? It goes the same direction. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. He's comparing Jesus Christ and what He did to the church, what a husband ought to do for his wife. So, well, you just don't know my wife. You just don't understand Christ's church. You don't understand how wicked and vile we can be as Christ's bride, as Christ's body, as Christ's church, and what He puts up with, and what the mercy and the grace He shows us. The woman's position is to walk beside the man next to his heart. It changed slightly with the man being the spiritual leader, and she's supposed to submit to man in all things. But the hierarchy is set up being Christ and then the man and then the woman. And if the man's not following Christ, the woman's not obligated to follow the man in the wrong direction. She's obligated to follow Christ the best she can without the leadership of her husband and pray for her husband and trust God to take care of the rest. Amen. We see the submission. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. It doesn't stop there. The submission. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Look at verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. You realize the husband's supposed to be subject to Christ in everything? So the woman can follow Him. Amen. I found out a long time ago, they say it takes two to tango, or two to tangle, or whatever it is. I don't know. I know it takes at least two to tangle. Been in a few of those. Some of them don't turn out well, no matter what the number is, but it takes two. I mean, you can find out you got his side, her side, and the truth. When you realize your side isn't always the truth, or you very seldom is, then you can start realizing that maybe you need to get right too. Oh, the woman thou gavest to be with me. Oh, she ain't no worse than you are to God. Matter of fact, if you look the way you treated God, and the way you disrespect His book, and walk on the blood of His Son, you'd be glad you had a woman put up with you. Happy Mother's Day. Save you a lot of counseling right here. Man, get saved, get right with God, treat your wife the way he wants you to treat her, and you know what he'll do? He'll work a miracle, and she'll be the woman you want her to be. But you notice something else? In verse 26, it says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. If you want a good relationship, if you want a good marriage, first of all, don't pick some dunce that doesn't love Jesus Christ, that cares little about the Bible. And second of all, if you're the man, you need to be reading your Bible, and you need to be reading it with your wife. You know why? See, he can sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word. She's the weaker vessel. I always like, you know, when I was growing up, I got whooped a couple times over this, but you know, a guy slapping a girl around. Now, I understand most men don't leave the house going, I just like to slap a woman. A woman will jump out there and, you know, sometimes they just almost beg for it. Yeah. I've seen it growing up. Yeah. But a real man's not a man that... Right. I mean, look. A real man loves Jesus Christ. A real man will lay his life down for a woman. A real man... If you got to slap a woman around, I wonder if you're even a man.
Right. Amen.
Say, well, I don't ever hit her. Are you always beating her up verbally?
That's right.
I'm glad God don't do it. I mean, he does. When I get out of line, well, he puts it on me. I'll open that Bible up, and he'll take that giant God finger, and he'll poke me right between the eyes. And he'll take that God boot, and he'll boot me right in the seat of the britches. He probably don't do that to y'all, because you don't have the flesh problems I have, right? Y'all have already been, you've already arrived at perfection, right? But if a man would line up with Jesus Christ and line up with this Word and read that book with his wife, and boy, she'd get in there and start learning and growing, and they'd start learning and growing. And you know, my wife and I aren't the same people we were when we got married. We used to like to mix it up a little bit, amen? Amen. Until I found out she could hit harder than me. So, no. Wasn't that, but I mean, we used to like, I like what Jack Wood said. He goes, I never had anybody stay at our house because me and my wife, we might want to fight. Amen. I know nobody else fights. Y'all been married 70 years. You never fought, never looked crossways at each other and all that. But me and my wife, we tie one on her once in a while. Just, you know, I think this and I think that and I think this. We read the book, found out we're both wrong. Amen. You know what I found out reading the Bible? I found out I was a long way from where Jesus Christ expected me to be. I know what you were hoping I'd say. I found out my wife was a long way from the Lord. Where she was way out there where the Lord wanted more than the Lord wanted her. But the truth is, God talked to me. And when we read the Bible together, he talked to her and me. And when she reads the Bible by herself, he talks to her. Probably about me. Amen. Taught her to pray by using me. Amen. She can pray. So you marry that fool, you'll be able to pray. Amen. So the Lord used me to help her pray and used her to help me realize I'm way away sometimes from where the Lord wants me to be. So well, preachers, they walk on water and they're perfect and they've got the perfect home. The only perfect marriage that ever is going to be is in the future. That's the Christ and His bride. Right now we're just knuckleheads trying to get along and glorify Jesus Christ. But women think, you know, I can't submit to my husband. That's old-fashioned. And men think, I can't lead her. She's not leadable. Well, the truth is, you can't lead unless you can follow. And if you can't follow Jesus Christ, you'll never be able to lead anybody. I'm going to tell you, I'll just put it out there over the plate waist high, and you take a swing at it all day long if you want, but I'm going to put it out there where it belongs. If you're a man and you're lost, you need to get saved. And if you're saved and your family's having trouble, you need to get right with God so you can lead. Yeah. You can't put it all off on her. She's the weaker vessel. I'm not saying that she's 100% innocent. And I'm not saying that she walks on water. I'm just saying you got a responsibility as a man to try to lead your wife to glorify Jesus Christ. Her position was to walk beside you, not behind you, not under you. Her position is to submit to your authority as you submit to the Word of God. And her mission is to be a helpmeet to help you glorify God. The world is all messed up. They don't understand what the Bible says anymore. They don't care. They've thrown it in the trash. And they want to go talk to Dr. Phil or Dr. Spock or Dr. Ruth or whoever, whatever nut job out there and find out how to have a wedding, a proper marriage, and they don't. Most of these people have been divorced 65 times. I'm going to tell you how to live. Amen. Dr. Spock never had a kid, tell you how to raise your kids.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm not talking about the guy on Star Trek. I'm talking about the guy that wrote a kid's book, never had a kid. But he read in a book once, so he knew everything.
Yeah.
But if I tell them something out of this book, they go, well, that's the book.
That's right.
It's not just a book. That's the Word of God. This is just a book. You, if you're lost, you'll stand at the great white throne of judgment, and you'll be standing in front of this.
Right.
The Word of God. If you're saved, you're going to be judged by your works through the Word of God. Or by your works will be judged, not by your works. You're not saved for, you're not judged for salvation at the judgment seat of Christ, but your works are going to be judged according to this book. How do I know that? Because He gave you the book. And He's not going to judge you by something He didn't give you. He says, if a man loves me, he'll keep my words with an S. We got His words. If He didn't give you His words, He couldn't expect you to keep them. Her position beside the man, her mission to help the man glorify Jesus Christ, her submission. She's supposed to submit to the man as he submits to Jesus Christ. And in Genesis chapter 3, jump back here for just a minute. In Genesis chapter number 3. Happy Mother's Day. Genesis chapter number 3. Verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? We see her opposition. Her opposition is the devil. If your marriage is messed up, I'm not going to give the devil credit for everything because we have free will. But if you want to say, well, that woman's a devil woman, that woman does this, that woman does that, this, that, or the other, it's because you're not leading her and trying to protect her. She is spiritually weaker than you are supposed to be. You're supposed to be following Jesus Christ. You're supposed to be following that Bible. And I'll go further than that. You're not. You might be a male. You might have an M on that little piece of paper, but you're not a man if you're not born again and following Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hey, you know what? Ain't nobody but you cares if you can bench 450 pounds.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Oh, she might have when she's 16, 18. Oh, she don't care now. You know what she cares about now? That when she's having the worst day she's had ever, that you can put her arms around her and say, I love you. And when she's done things and said things because she was mad, like you never do, you can say mercy and grace just like God showed me, and you can put your arm around her and say, I love you. Amen. Well, I'm a man because I can whoop 20 guys at once. I'm like Samson. Just pick the gates of the city up and walk off. It don't make you a man. That don't make you a man. I'll tell you this, young man, that don't make you a man. What makes you a man is being able to love Jesus Christ with all your heart, and then you'll love your wife the way you're supposed to, and then it's on her and the Lord from there.
Amen.
I'm a man! I used to think that. Well, we used to get with it, man. We'd fight over everything. Somebody look at you wrong, we'd be punching them in the mouth. I mean, that's what, we're men. We're trying to prove we're men. That's what young men do.
Yeah,
or young males do.
Yeah.
But a real man knows when to stay away from that mess. A real man's able to control himself. Amen. I'm not saying we never have trouble. I'm not saying that you won't have a day where somebody cuts you off in traffic and gives you that unfriendly wave and you just want to choke them. I'm here testifying against myself. It happens. But a real man loves Jesus Christ. And a real man can control himself. You know what I found out about people most of the time? I learned this from me and the Lord. I learned when people want to control everything, it's because they can't control themselves. Biggest part of the time, that's what it is. They want to control everything. I mean everything. Because they've got to be in control of something they can't control themselves. They just can't do it. You know why? Because they haven't submitted to the will of God. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven because of Jesus Christ. If it was about me, I'd split hell wide open. I wouldn't have a chance to ever get out. I deserve it. But I'm saved because I called on Him and trusted the finished work of Jesus Christ. And He sealed me. I can't lose it. My wife's going to lose it sometimes because I'm me, but not her salvation. But we struggle. But an occasional struggle is one thing. But a lifestyle against God, is a different story. You say, well, we're all sinners. I heard it. I'm talking to the weirdos out on the street. You know, they want to do what they want to do and dress the way they want to dress and be who they want to be and identify as a goat or whatever they want to do. You know, it's crazy stuff out there. And, you know, well, we're all sinners and God loves us all. There's a difference between being sinner and living in a sin. There's a difference between struggling. Like, Lord, I can't read the book today. I'm reading it, but I'm not doing it with my heart. There's a difference between that. And there's a difference between oh, man, that guy just worked my nerve. There's a difference in that than choosing a lifestyle against God. There's a difference in struggling and being up and down and backsliding and getting right. There's a difference in doing that than saying, I'm just going to do what I want to do and God's going to have to like it. You know, God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And one of these days, if folks don't get saved, He's going to cast them into a lake of fire forever, and He won't like it. But He'll be right, and He'll have to do it because He's just. Because He's just. And if you're here today, I don't care how nice of a person you might be or how against God you might think you are today, one of these days you'll bow the knee to Jesus Christ, and if you're not saved, you'll be cast into a lake of fire, and you'll spend it forever and ever and ever, where the fire's never quenched and the worm dieth not. And I'm talking to you if you're lost. So that's a terrible thing to say. That'd be a terrible thing for me not to say. Because if you end up at that great white throne of judgment, that's where you're headed. You'll be booted into a lake of fire. But you can change all that right now by calling on Christ, trusting Him as your Lord and Savior. The position of the woman was to walk beside the man. The mission of the woman was help the man glorify Christ. We were made for His pleasure. The submission was the man to submit to Christ and the woman to submit to the man. The opposition is the devil trying to get everything messed up. And now we see the condition. The condition of going against God. You see it everywhere. I mean, you take 5 minute stroll through Walmart, you tell me this place isn't a trash can turned upside down, lit on fire. I mean, you'll see things in there that make, well, the Friday night scary shows that used to be on when you was a kid, they make them look funny. And now they call it normal. They call it normal. I was walking through the store the other day. Guy had two plates in his ears. They sticking straight out. I mean, straight out. Boom. I looked at him. He gave me a dirty look. Like, well, you look at me. I'm like, you got plates sticking out of your head, man. Yeah. Aren't I supposed to look? Yeah, exactly. Did you put them in there so I could walk around with my eyes closed? I mean, when you're sticking Tupperware in your nose and you're sticking Corralware in your ears, somebody's going to notice that.
Yeah.
Amen. Don't people do that to be noticed? Because they want to be individuals, just like the guy behind them has got the two things in? Right? What are they doing? They're trying to figure out what their life's all about. I can tell them. The Bible says we're made for His pleasure. We're made for His pleasure. The condition, the position, the mission, the submission, the opposition. The condition. And you know why the condition is the way it is? Because they've aborted the mission. And now it's about competition. Now it's about competition. Thank God. I'm not against women working. Praise God. There are instances where men can't work. And the Lord will raise that woman up, take care of the whole family. I'm not against a woman working. I don't believe God is either. But thank God for a woman that'll be a woman and want to be God's woman and want to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ and want a man that submits to the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God for the man that'll submit to Jesus Christ and the family that'll submit to Jesus Christ. But that's all competition. So where did it all go bad? Well, I'll tell you where it went bad. When men became lazy drunks that didn't want the Lord, and women decided they want to be men.
Right.
And now they're in competition.
Yep.
I don't think there's anything wrong with a woman working, but I think her desire should be to please Jesus Christ, not fill a bank account. And I think if the husband is not trying to put the bread on the table,
right,
and he expects his wife to do it, he ain't much of a man.
Right.
Might want to scratch the M off that piece of paper, matter of fact.
Yep.
Makes me wonder. Amen. A well-bodied man. Man don't work, he don't eat. God understands people get crippled up. People can't do things. God wasn't surprised by that a bit. But He also said, if you're a well-bodied man, you ought to be taking care of your family. said, well, yeah, you ought to have 6 cars and a mansion and a jet. No, you ought to have a Bible. You ought to have it open. You ought to be saved. You ought to be leading your family toward Jesus Christ instead of toward the devil. And you ought to be focused on glorifying Jesus Christ instead of your Porsche, your Corvette, and your bass boat and all. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having that stuff, but most people, that stuff has them, and they could care less about Jesus Christ. Amen. Say, well, if Trump would get back in, if Biden never get back in, well, you know, that ain't going to fix it. What's going to fix it is people getting back to the Word of God. Getting back to the Word of God. So, well, I don't like that. Well, I don't like it sometimes either. Matter of fact, I open it a lot of times and it just works me over. But you can ask the Lord and my wife. I need worked over once in a while. Happy Mother's Day. The condition we're in is because of the competition. Oh, the devil comes along and says, oh, that woman, that just like Genesis 3, the woman Lord gave you, she's just messing everything up. And the man says, you're right, I'll go get drunk. Or I'll find another one. Grass is always greener, right? Over the septic tank, right? The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. Well, you notice something, when you get on the other side of the fence, you're not on the other side of the fence anymore. Yeah. And you find out that grass is just the same size, you know. Matter of fact, it wasn't as good as where I was at. If I had just worked on where I was at, men, I don't understand things happen. I understand that some things are out of your control. But the things that are in your control are your responsibility. Right. What's in your control? Well, you don't have to die and go to hell. No. You can call on Jesus Christ right now and get saved. You can get you a Bible. I'll give you one. We got free Bibles. With the church, we'll give you one. We got free Bibles up here. We'll give you one. We'll give one to everybody in your family. We'll buy more. You can open that book and read it 5 minutes a day on your own. You can get your wife or your fiance or whoever 5 or 10 minutes a day and read it. You get on your knees with her and say, we're going to follow this book. We're going to follow Jesus Christ. We're going to glorify Him. And by the grace of God, we're going to make it through this crazy world and not be a casualty. But it's all about competition now. He comes, the devil comes to the man, he says, that woman that God gave you, boy, she's just messing things up. And then he goes to the woman and says, you can be just like, hey, you know what, here's the problem. Matter of fact, I just thought of this. I thought of it the other day, but here's the problem right here in Genesis chapter number 3. In Genesis chapter number 3, Eve says, no, we're not supposed to eat the fruit or touch it. He didn't say anything about touching it. He said, don't eat it. So Eve didn't know exactly what the book said. That's a problem. You should know what the book says, or else I could lie to you and you believe it. Matter of fact, preachers are doing it all over the place this morning. They're lying to people and they're believing it, and they'll go to hell for it, for not trusting Christ. But she says, no. And he says, you shall not surely die. Look what he says in verse 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. See what the problem is? Adam was made in God's image. Body, soul, and spirit. And you know what the devil told Eve? You can be as a God. So what's she saying? He's saying, you can be like Adam and God. You know what he's telling women today? You can be just like him. You don't have to love your family the way a woman should. You don't have to submit to that man. Matter of fact, you can make more money than that man. As a matter of fact, the devil set it up in the government. And I understand that there are some men that are puny waste out there. They don't work. They don't want to work. They won't produce anything except headaches and heartaches. I understand that. But in general, a man can outwork a woman when it comes to physical labor. So the devil adds this in to help. Well, everybody's got to get paid the same. So not only does she think that she might be able to be equal as far as finances go, now she might be able to get ahead. She might be able, in her mind, she could be better than the man. And he's blaming blaming the Lord, the woman you gave to be with me, she's messing everything up. And he's going, well, he's such an idiot. I'll show him. I can be just like him. Women's rights, amen. Women's rights. We have the right to this and the right to that. What about God's rights? He set it up that the man follows Jesus Christ and the woman follows the man as he follows Jesus Christ. And the woman says, no, I ain't doing that. And the man says, I ain't doing it either. Competition. You can be as gods. Notice that G, that little G gods. We're not supposed to be. We're supposed to be like Christ. Happy Mother's Day. Hey, look, we could come in here, we'd give you flowers, and we could say, happy, happy, joy, joy, y'all have a good day. We'd just preach at Gun Barrel Straight today and hope it helps somebody. Because if you're not going to live by that book, you're going to have a miserable life. You're going to have a miserable life. You always look like you're eating sour lemons. You're going to always feel like you're eating sour lemons. And if you're living for the devil, God will feed you sour lemons. Amen. Sometimes the devil will feed you some sweet things to keep you out of God's will. But the position was set up. She was to walk beside the man. The mission was for them to glorify God together. The submission was the man submitting to Jesus Christ and his words, and the woman submitting to the man as he follows Jesus Christ. But the opposition comes. It's the devil. And the flesh says, yeah, I like that. And they take the fruit. They take the fruit. So what am I going to do? Try me. Try God. Try what I just said. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you will. If you died right now, you would burn in hell and you'd never get out. I don't know about you, but I even getting burnt on a cigarette lighter. I used to borrow my dad's Bic lighter and we'd light fireworks. That piece of metal gets so hot it was almost orange. It burned your thumb so bad you couldn't touch anything for 5 days. You had to have somebody give you a drink, man. It was bad shape. Could you imagine somebody just holding a propane torch to your hand for 3 minutes? Well, I'm a man. Yeah, there'll be none of that in hell. You know what there'll be? There'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Forever. Young man, I just want a female to look at me. Amen. Why don't you find one that's looking at Jesus? Find one that's looking at the Lord. But you need to look at the Lord. If you're ordained, you're lost, you need to get saved. And if you're saved, you need to get right with God. Start reading your Bible, and start reading your Bible with your wife if you're married. Try God. See if he's like man. Let God be true and every man a liar. God's not a man that he should lie. Try God. Ephesians chapter 5. Read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 31. And try it. Money-back guarantee. Amen. If it don't work, it's because one of the people don't let it. But if it's never instituted in a relationship, it's because the man didn't do it. That's the truth. That's the truth. When I was growing up, like I say, we south end of St. Joe, man, we fought all the time. We weren't good at it. We just done it a lot. Sometimes, you know, the police, they didn't come down there. They just let us fight it out. Unless the ambulance was needed or something, then they'd come with it, because they were afraid they'd get in some mess down there, you know. But figured out something. It took me a while to spiritually realize that we're in the same place right now, that as a young male trying to be a man, we thought being a man was how many people you whip. We found out after a while it's how bad of a beating you could take and still go on. That's Christianity too. How bad a beating can you take sometimes and still go on? Well, in the strength of God, you can go a long way. A long way.
So how about you today? Are you a male? Are you a man? Are you God's man?
How about you, ladies? Are you God's woman? I thank God that we have women in here that aren't afraid to be women. And I thank God we have men in here that aren't afraid to be men. I don't want no men showing up here dressed with flowers on them. If they do, they get saved and go to some other church. I want that stuff around our kids. But I thank God for men that'll be men and women that'll be women seeking the Lord to be God's man and God's woman. So what that guy's mean, I'm going to tell you something, I'll be nice to you. I'm telling you for your own good that when you draw your last breath, you're going to wish you'd serve Jesus Christ. And when you stand before the Lord, you notice when Adam said, "The woman thou gavest to be with me," didn't clear him. He still had a punishment coming. You know why I believe that was? First of all, he listened to her instead of listening to God. Amen. And second of all, where was he when the devil was messing with his woman? They weren't sitting at the table reading the Bible. They weren't praying. What was Adam doing? And in your relationship, man, what are you doing? What are you doing? The best thing I could suggest you do, according to the Word of God, is get saved if you're lost and line up with this book and follow Jesus Christ and ask Him to help you lead. Because without Him, it's impossible. Without Him, it's impossible. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute.